It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text to 343-0106. Show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer, Alabama Pipe and Supply, and Ed's Seafood Shed.
What a great day it is to be able to come back on the air. You know, Sally tried to mess all of our heads up, man, I tell you,
it was a mess. Woo. I mean, it really was.
And it's still a mess. You know, there's still a lot of stuff going on. And, my brother just found out today that his house was pushed about half an inch and a half or so, you know, off of the foundation. And
really?
Yep. So, who knows, man, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, and people are going to find more and more stuff that are damaged and things mm-hmm. that we didn't see. And they need to look around real close at their cars if their cars are sitting out in the open, because there's probably going to be some dings and dents and stuff in them that they weren't aware of.
Yep.
And I'm sure that you guys have probably seen some damage already and saw some cars mm-hmm. that got some water. And I think you was just talking about that Mustang.
Yeah, I was just talking about my brother. He got caught off guard. He lives in Pensacola, and he's got a place in Navarre. And, you know, it wasn't going there.
Yeah.
that's the problem, you know. And I had been talking back and forth with him, and initially it was – you know, it was going west of us here in Mobile.
But right.
Then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, y'all gonna get hit. And then it's all of a sudden, well, it ain't us, it's you.
You're right. So, yeah. You know. That thing kept sliding down during the bank out there and sliding around. You know, the different states.
Yep. You know, and
scared to come in, man. So it went over there and it
exactly
came on in. He kicked some butt over there.
It did. You know, his. He's got several boats, and his big boat was in Palafox Pier Marina, and mm-hmm. it ended up in the back of the marina, still tied to the fuel dock, right where it stays docked all the time. And it was, you know, in the back of the harbor with the fuel dock tied to it, basically.
I tell you, it's unbelievable. And you know, I think I was, if it was correct, I was seeing on the TV earlier tonight. They had that big boat that was washed up on the side of the road over there, mm-hmm. Orange Beach, and I think they've put it back in the water now and headed back. So they got to get it into marina and see how much damage it has got.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing is you got to get them out. You know, get them in the water, get them to the marina, and then get them back out of the water,
right.
You can look at the bottom. But just because it's sitting up on shore, you can't see what's sitting on the ground.
Right.
Yeah. You know? So
well, that fiberglass and all too the fiberglass, it might not show the cracks and all now, but you get it back in the water,
right?
You're going to start seeing the real damage to it then, and the fiberglass might have to be reworked or what's that coating they put on it?
Gel coat.
It might have to be gel coated again and buffed out. So who knows?
Yeah. Well,
I just hope most of those guys had some kind of insurance.
Well, you know, the bad thing is, in his place in Navarre, there's he had his other two smaller boats there on the lift. Unfortunately, when you have a named storm, it's not covered.
Really?
You know, if you have them on the lift or in the water, and don't get them out, they're not covered.
Your really?
Insurance, because all his boats were covered, but the two that were in Navarre on the lift, they're not going to cover them, because just for the simple fact it shouldn't have been there. But
holy cow,
that's a picture of Palafox Pier here. We're
oh
talking
my
about
god
earlier,
yeah
but,
yeah
you see that a lot of boats.
Yeah,
all,
I think my buddy's got the contract to clear that marina.
yeah and it's it's bad, you know. Mm-hmm. But they're all wadded up, and yeah, there's one much bigger than my brother's boat sunk right there in front of it. So it's it's bad. But it's the sad part. All those can be replaced, and anything can be replaced, you know, except for lives, you know. But he did have his 64 and a half Mustang under his house at Navarre that
mm-hmm.
Didn't get out. And the salt water line is about halfway up the car.
Uh-oh. You know?
still runs, drives. You know, I drove it on the trailer, but I think we're dealing with the insurance company. It's going to end up totaling out because, and that's kind of the point here is that you got to look close. If you have insurance, you need to involve them, especially if it had salt water in it. And, you know, I know you don't want your vehicle totaled out just like his. Car will clean up and be look just like it did before.
For a while.
But in about 2 years, it's going to be rusted.
Oh, yeah, been there. I done been there and done that.
Yep.
They look like, yeah, about a couple of years, it looked like termites got a hold of it. That yep. rust will eat it up.
Exactly. You know, and that's the thing is, you know, it's a car that's been around a long time, was restored many years ago. He's had it for 30-plus years.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a rust bucket. It's a solid, it's a nice solid car.
Yeah, but
the salt water,
if it got that high, it's got into mm-hmm. all the frame.
It got in all those crevices and cracks and in between panels and that, and you just mm-hmm. won't get it all
out. You can't get it out.
Yeah, the only way you can really get that out is you'd have to totally dismantle that car, send it and have it dipped.
Yeah,
in some kind of acid that would strip everything, and then have it retreated, and then come back up and do a total restoration.
Well, then you'd have to have a total restoration, and you're looking at it, you know, with that kind of car,
$50,000 or $60,000
$50,000, $60,000, $70,000, you know, to do all that.
Yeah, so, you know.
Insurance companies say, well, we had $38,000 on it or $40,000 on it. Here's mm-hmm. your money. We're taking the car.
Right.
You know?
Right. And we've talked about that route as well as, you know, okay, if they give you your maximum amount and you can buy it back for a reasonable amount, we'll do what we can because I know you want to keep the car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll do what we can to protect it as best I can. And, you know, you can enjoy it for a few more years.
Yep.
Yeah.
Until it starts to becoming the real rust bucket.
when it starts getting rusty, then it's time to let it go, you know. But
well, how many of you guys and gals out there have got a question that you may want to ask the car doctor here about something that may have occurred to your car or a problem that you're having with it? That's what we're here for.
Yep. And another one, we actually got a vehicle that shopped that this kind of falls into the category of, okay, they don't have insurance specifically on it, but it's company-owned car, so it's a company-insured, it's a self-insured situation, so they're not really bound by, okay, 70% rule or whatever.
Right, for a
or
total.
Or reporting
it
as a total, okay? You know, they're going to do the right thing. They're going to probably, you know, do away with the vehicle, call it a total loss, and move on. But you got to be careful. That vehicle is probably going to end up somewhere in an auction.
Yep.
You know,
and
end up being repaired.
Mm-hmm.
It was at least fresh water. You know, the motor's not hurt. It did not get in the motor.
Considering this, mm-hmm. this storm came in. Where do you think he was getting that water from?
Yeah, yeah.
From the Gulf.
Okay. Yeah, you know, it's...
So you're going to have, even though you might be, it might be in a freshwater stream, a mm-hmm. freshwater creek or a little small river, the rain that has accumulated from the storm is going to be salt water from the hurricane.
Right.
So it's going to, because it's picking up its water out there. And it's bringing it in and then dropping it in the freshwater area. So you're going to have a mixture, you know?
Yeah, there's going to be a percentage of that is going to be salt water.
Right.
You know, it's not a high percentage, but it's going to be a percentage of it, depending on where you're at and you know, how much it gets. But just the rain itself does have salt water in it.
It does.
And that's kind of what this had. It was Midtown Mobile. You know, away from any bodies of water or anything, just in a flood prone area.
So you think everything is just rainwater. You say, well, it's not salt water.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Where did water come from?
That's right.
Yeah.
It come from the Gulf.
Have you ever seen a water spout?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
Sucking it up into the air. So, and then these tornadoes that we see that coming in off of the Gulf,
mm-hmm.
that's a water spout that has turned into a tornado, you know?
Right.
It's a water spout over the water, it's a tornado over land.
Yeah, same thing, full of water.
Yeah.
But looks like we do have a caller, which we'll get to after the break, and I know we don't have much time left, do we, Philip? But we're getting there. But I know we're going to have to take a break and let you hear from our fine sponsors here in just a second. But we will get back to trying to answer some questions here in just a few minutes.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raymond along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. We do have a caller online, and we have James. James, you with me? John. Or John,
hey,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I got a 1997 Jeep Wrangler with the 2.5 four-cylinder in it.
Yeah.
And just recently it lost oil pressure while I was driving. The alarm went off. And I pulled over and stopped immediately, and the engine sounded bad. You know, I mean, it really did lose oil pressure. It's not just an electrical problem.
Right, right. A couple things. I assume it was still running okay, just got loud?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
More than likely, the oil pump itself has failed, or the pickup tube in the pan has come off, broke, something along those lines. But you also have to look at where the distributor drops down into the motor. Make sure the distributor drive is not stripped out. I can't remember on that one if it's a hex drive. I believe it is. And that hex pin, which is basically the drive rod for the oil pump, it can actually strip out and just round off, and it's just not turning the pump anymore.
Gotcha.
Because usually if the pump locks up, it'll shear the roll pin on the distributor gear, and it'll shut the car off as well. So more than likely not that. More than likely either the pump drive is stripped out, or the pump itself has failed.
Good. I'm glad you said that. That's what I was hoping you'd say. And I looked up under it. It looks like I can get the pan off of it. I probably have to loosen the exhaust. But
yeah.
I'll do that. I'll take the pan off and have a look at it.
Yeah, I think the first thing I would do is pull the distributor and look at the drive.
Yep.
And if it is stripped out, look at the distributor close too, because if it's stripped on that end, the distributor itself will be just as rounded off as the drive is.
But, okay.
But just look at that. And if it is stripped out, always make sure it spins, but it should, you know, it more than likely is not locked up, you know, based on what you're telling me.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, good. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in.
But, yep. Bye-bye.
We do have a, we have a text message from James. What is the difference between marine gas and 100% ethanol free gas? It's basically the same. Some marine fuel is a higher octane. Most of your 100% ethanol free gas that you buy at the gas stations around here is not a high octane gas, but most of your marine fuel is a higher octane rating, just for the simple fact that the boats are usually operating at a higher compression ratio, and they're at a wide open throttle condition most of the time. That and the fact they get to charge you about twice as much for it. So,
oh, yes.
Yeah, so
oh,
it's yes. It's always more expensive. But
then the other thing that you had to consider is ethanol is alcohol, and the tanks on most of the boats and all are aluminum. So if you put ethanol-type gas in a marine, mm-hmm. boat, it's just like putting it in these little weed eaters and all that stuff,
right.
And everything on them are aluminum, even the cylinders,
right.
Are aluminum. It's the ethanol is going to start eating that aluminum, causing,
yeah.
You know, oxidation and all in it, and it's going to ruin all that. So that's why they've got to run the marine fuel or non-ethanol gas.
Right, right. You know, and if you use it all the time, you know, it doesn't sit up.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It would, you know, regular gas would probably be fine in it. You know, but when they start sitting,
no.
that's when they start, yeah. accumulating the moisture and starts causing a problem.
Well, it's, yeah. like in our little, you know, little small motors and even the generators, mm-hmm. and stuff like that, where we have those aluminum carburetors and things. If they're going to set up 2 or 3 weeks or a month, mm-hmm. the sucker might not crank.
Right, right. You know, it's always every threat for a hurricane. It's always a rush to get all the generators of everybody up and running.
Oh yes.
So, yeah. You know, it's a never ending battle. You know, I got mine up and going. Had several others I had to get up and going. So it was.
Yeah.
Luckily, I only had to use mine for a few hours.
I used mine like I guess about 14, 16 hours. So. Mm-hmm. I didn't burn it about 6 gallons of gas in it, so that was cool.
Yeah. I probably wasn't 4 hours. Yeah.
The biggest problem was I don't have the big setup where I can plug my generator into the house
right. And
run everything in there except maybe the air condition.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had extension cords, you know.
Right.
My biggest problem was trying not to trip over all my damn extension cords.
Going like, man, I'll be so glad when I get rid of this stuff, you know. I'm going to strip, fall, and bust my own head.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and that's we talked a little bit about generator safety, and I didn't mention the tripping over cords.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the main things. But, let me run this one by you now. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine was talking about his brother, and he had his generator outside of his house. But now it was at the end of the house, and straight above the house, probably 15, 16 feet was the eave, and also the vent going into the house, into the attic, mm-hmm. Whatever up there.
Right.
Well, the wind started blowing against the house.
Right.
So it blew the oxygen,
fumes.
The fumes from the mm-hmm. generator up through that attic thing, and somehow or another it worked its way down into the house, and they all got sick.
Yeah.
Thank God that none of them died.
Right.
But they got sick because they didn't know. They all started feeling bad, and they couldn't figure out what the hell it was, you know, because that mm-hmm. stuff didn't have a smell to it.
Doesn't have a smell, but it's a very unique sickness. You know, I've experienced a little bit of it racing cars.
I would think so.
Got hung out on the outside of one night in my air intake for my helmet that I breathed directly from.
Right.
Was facing his exhaust, basically.
Oh, my Lord.
And
okay.
We made 5, 6, 7, 8 laps like that. And that doesn't sound like a lot of time, but there's a whole lot of, lot of carbon monoxide coming out of those.
Well, that was
cars,
probably racing fuel, too, wasn't it?
It was racing fuel, and there was no Kelly okay. converters. There was nothing that was going to dilute it at all. And didn't realize, finished the race, I was okay. You know, I knew I didn't feel right and got to thinking about why. Because I usually wasn't that tired when I got out of a race car.
Why I feel so funky.
And, it was probably 3 or 4 days before I felt right again.
Really?
Yeah, just
well, you got to work that stuff out of your blood. That actually gets into your blood system.
Yep. Absolutely does. You know, it's it takes longer to get over than you think. It's not just a simple, you know, get away from it and you're back to normal immediately.
Right.
But, It definitely will get your attention.
Well, nobody's got any car problems out there, so let's talk about some racing.
All right.
Atmore Speedway, you know, for the years we've worked with those people at this fine drag strip up in the Atmore area, and it's like a NHRA, a IHRA-approved drag strip. I guess it's probably one of the finest drag strips in the Gulf Coast area.
Mm-hmm.
It's run by Miss Donna Moore up there. Her husband Gary Moore had to help, you know, build the track and design it. It's been around this drag racing for years. This is on October the 3rd. This Saturday is a need for speed. We all need a dose of RPMs. Well, they have nitrous pro mods. It's at like the 430s. On the what mods they have ET classes, super pro ET. I think the winner's going to get about $3,000 on that.
Mm-hmm.
Pro ET and foot brake races on that. Now, they got some jet cars coming, and the jet cars are going to be there. Plus, they'll also be on display so people can check them out and all. Gates open at 11 a.m. ET trial, time trial start at 1 p.m. Eliminations to follow. The Pro Mod shakedowns are 5 p.m., 7 p.m., and 9 p.m. The jet car exhibition to follow Pro Mods. Now, it's only $20 to get in, and it starts Saturday at 11 o'clock, so you got plenty of time to get there, bring your grill,
you know, go up there. And but if you don't want to do that, they have they'll have plenty of groceries and all at the concession stand. But now here's something that you might be interested in. The track record is a 3.76. That's pretty swift, isn't it?
That's moving.
And it, you know, in 660, that which is an eighth of a mile,
right,
is 3.76. Now he's put up a $500, or Donna has put up a $500 bounty.
Yep.
For the person that can break that record.
Hmm.
Somebody called him. He wouldn't say who he was. He wouldn't say what kind of car he's bringing. But he told him to get his money counted and get it in a special envelope, because he's coming to get the $500. He's going to break that track record.
Yeah.
He said, well, bring yourself on. You know?
I tell you what, that's getting it. That's getting
376. Can you believe that?
Yeah. Well,
trying to make the time. I mean, if it's a jet, you know, I could understand a jet doing that. But a car that's got to get the traction to the wheels to spin the tires and then make those tires hold to where you can go and come on.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you know, the thing with a jet car is, you know, most of the ones I see, they really mile power out the back end.
Right.
But they don't get going that fast.
They don't spin no tires.
Right. They don't spin no tires, but it takes them a little while to get going because they got to get that momentum built up.
Well, if this is a combustion engine, where you're gonna go through a transmission, go through a drive shaft, into a rear end, to the tires, and you better have some trick rubber on the ground.
I guarantee you, that's
376, and
that's fast. That is definitely fast.
That is that is moving on down the road. Now those darn jet cars will live 300 mile an hour.
Oh yeah, yeah. You know, that's the difference between an Atmore Dragway and like Mobile is down here.
Oh yeah.
You won't try and do that fast. Even if your car can, you're not going to do it because you can't stop it in time.
No, you can't stop it.
You know? Atmore's got a runoff area at the back end that you can go that fast.
That's actually could have been a quarter mile track.
Yeah.
You know, because they've got plenty of room.
Mm-hmm. But it sounds like it's time for us to take another break and let you hear from our sponsors.
October the 3rd, Atmore Dragway. Get there before 11 o'clock. That's when the races start.
Yep. We'll be back.
It's the Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49 and went to Detroit working on
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. You have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But we don't have any callers right now or texts, so obviously everybody's cars did well through the storms. No issues.
Nobody
no
had car problems. Yeah. Man, everything's fine.
Yeah. One other thing that went on. You know, my brother went down there, and one of the vehicles that his son drives is a Jeep, and they were, you know, of course, chomping at the bit to get down to the marina, check out the boats, all this kind of stuff, and they went through, tried to take a little shortcut, and basically got up to the door, you know, the top of the door to, you know, going through some water. Jeep never missed a lick, went on through it, no problem, okay? A couple days later, guess what? Jeep wouldn't start. Starter failed.
Well,
you know, it got submerged, got salt water in it, and it killed that starter, so... Luckily, it wasn't in deep enough water to get anything else at this point that I know of. But, you know, you just got to be careful what you go through when you get into storms like that, because every bit of that water around that area is going to be salt water, you know. And
is there any way to salt waterproof a car?
No.
Yeah, you leave it on dry land.
Yeah. Don't get it near salt water.
Don't get it near salt water. Yeah.
Now, I don't know of a chemical that you could spray on it or put on it. You know, what happens is to most of this stuff is the electrical components. See, when that starter, you've got your armature, Then you've got all your wiring, and you've got right. your brushes and your bushings and all in there, and that stuff is going to corrode all that.
That's hopefully one of the, it didn't get up into the alternator, but I wouldn't be surprised if the alternator doesn't fail before too long. So it's you just got to be careful about what
that's
you do
one of
that
the
stuff.
That's one of the things that we did is when we were I worked for a insurance company that we went looking for all the cars that got underwater for Katrina, and that was one of the first things that we did is we if we got to the vehicle and we kind of see where the watermarks were at. And if the watermarks was over the dash, then you didn't worry about it. You got the VIN number.
Right.
And took your pictures, and that was it. It was a total. But if there was any doubt about where the water was at,
right,
then the one of the first things that you did was look in the car, feel up under the seats, and see if those springs and all are still wet or rust, if you've got rust on your hands.
Right.
And if it's I thought it was real cool. This guy had a Corvette, and he pressure washed it, and he cleaned it all up, and he said, oh, no, man, this car didn't get no water, you know. I said, really? Okay, you know, so Corvette's only got two seats in the front.
Right.
And then it's got the, deal in the back. So I went in there, and I pulled the front seat back, pulled it forward towards the steering wheel. Here's a damn water line across it, deal. I mean, back there, you know. But the other thing is, where the fuse boxes are, if it's been 2 or 3 days or 4 days or 5 days or anywhere like that, just like he's talking about here with this Jeep, if you open your fuse panel underneath the car and or underneath the dash where all your fuses and all are at, if that salt water has been in there, you're going to see green.
Right. It's going to be corroding.
It'll be greenish, bluish around there. And if they wash that off some, all you got to do is pull out 2 or 3 of those fuses. So they're not going to take the time to pull all the fuses out. They'll just wash it down, pressure wash it, and blow it out. But where it's up underneath there, where your prongs go down into the male prongs go into the female fittings, there's going to be corrosion there.
Right.
And if it had salt water in it or got water in there,
you're going to have problems.
You don't have to worry about it. That's when you walk around and say, total.
Right.
Get the VIN number, get the tag number. get pictures, front, left, sideways, and rear.
Yeah. Well, next. And it's just like I was talking to my brother about his, is like, he really doesn't, he's got some emotional attachment to this car. He's had it many years. It belonged to, a family member before we bought it, or he bought it. And, so actually belonged to my godmother. So, there's some emotional attachment to the car, so really do not want this car to go away. Okay, but like I explained to him, is like, okay, if you do not involve your insurance company now, all you're doing is saving them money.
Right.
Because sure, I can fix the little cosmetic stuff, even have to recover seats and that kind of stuff because they all got wet. The carpet, no big deal. I can fix anything mechanical on the car.
Right. You're a fixed man.
I can make it look just like it did before, if not better. Okay. The problem is it's not going to stay that way.
For how long?
And in 2 years from now, when it starts turning into a rust bucket, the insurance company is going to look at you and laugh because guess what? All you did was save them money because they're going to laugh at you and say, oh, that ain't got nothing to do with that. You should have made a claim then.
Right.
Yeah. How are you going to prove it now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he might be able to let them total it and then see what he can buy it back for. I mean, if they total it for $30,000, I don't know what it has to do with what kind of insurance is on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the next thing because it is,
and that's one of the first things I asked him. I said, okay, now is this like a State Farm insurance or is this a classic car company that deals with classic cars and this kind of stuff? And it is covered by a classic car insurance company.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they understand, even though like a State Farm or whoever will cover those kind of cars with an agreed value, they do not understand how to cover that.
Right.
They just don't do it often enough.
Yeah, they don't. Well, most of the time they won't cover those cars.
Right. And you can get the coverage. I mean, I've seen it done. But then when it comes time to file a claim, it's a whole different deal.
It's a different ballgame.
Yeah, for sure.
I worked a couple of those after a while. I'll talk about them when we come back.
Yeah. We do have a caller online. Caller, are you with us?
I am. I just went through something similar. Uh-huh. Wasn't a 64, but it was an older car.
Yeah.
And a ding in the door and a scrape here and there, and they totaled it. And mm-hmm. I was given the option of keeping the car and getting a salvage title, and they deduct the salvage value, right. or they just pay me the whole amount. Mm-hmm. So right. I bought the car for the salvage value, which in this case was $600.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And you know,
now, I'm sure they'll get more of a salvage value on a 64 Mustang.
Oh yeah, especially since
they would on an older Suburban. But yeah. you know, nonetheless, it you know, it won't take much to fix it. And then once the repair's done, you get the branded title instead of a salvage title.
Right.
How much trouble did it for you? It's a do-it-yourselfer, I would guess. How much trouble was it for you to file for the salvage title and all? And what kind of steps did you have to go through? Is it something that most anybody can do or not?
You can, but the insurance company did it all for me.
That's awesome.
They wanted the title and the power of attorney, and I get a salvage title back in the mail.
Okay.
You know, and they told me if I wanted to, I could do it myself, and I'm thinking, why would I want to go to motor vehicle if I don't have to?
Exactly.
Well, now, did that car have a VIN number on it?
Yes.
Oh, it did? Okay. Mm-hmm. So yeah. then did yeah. you have so to register the VIN number with the state of Alabama or where yeah. whatever state you were in that it was a salvage car
it was,
now?
It was an Alabama vehicle, and it was titled in Alabama.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I sent it off to the insurance company, and it took a little while, but, you know, it came back from the state as a salvage title.
Okay.
And then they give you the procedure that you're supposed to follow to have it fixed and inspected and what have you.
Right. Yeah, they do have some procedures you're supposed to go through to get the, you know, the car repaired and inspected properly.
This is a joke because you can find plenty of cars driving around with less damage than this car has, but because of the value and the cost of fixing, you know, they'd have to replace a door and fender flares and, you know, things that I'm going to pull a dent out and, you know, paint a door and touch up paint on fender flares, and that'll be that.
Right.
They'll replace the mirror.
Yeah.
Now, what did you say that you could get another regular title on that, or is it still going to be a salvage title?
No, they call it a branded title.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but you can get a different title rather than saying salvage.
Yes. Okay. Yes, you can get that branded title, and what I'm told is that there are some less than scrupulous dealers who take those to another state and get a regular title on it, and bring them back and sell them.
Right.
With the salvage and the branded being gone.
Right.
Yeah, and I think Texas used to be the state of choice in this area to go to retitle it and then bring it back and get it retitled again, and that branded salvage mark would go away.
Right. Yeah, it was gone.
Yeah, but I think they've actually closed those loopholes up.
I saw some of that during the Katrina deal where I was at a salvage yard in Gulfport, and they must have had 5,000 damaged total cars there. But then on the desk, I noticed when I was in there talking to one of the inspectors that they had the titles all stacked up on the desk, and like everything there from Louisiana, which they was pulling those cars into Gulfport from Louisiana. And they had a big rubber stamp. I mean, it just about covered the whole title.
Yeah.
You know, total water car from Louisiana.
Yeah.
You know, and it had the government, the state sticker and all on it, and certification and all, so that they're trying to keep that from happening.
Right.
But I went to Pensacola this past week, and coming back, I saw Copart Catastrophe Wreckers hauling cars from Pensacola and all back into the Mobile Copart yard.
Right.
I'm going like, they look like they've already been cleaned up.
Yeah. You're always going to have somebody doing that. And I figured with this, now, of course, they told me that probably isn't worth having, you know, collision or comp on it anymore, because it would still only be a $600 vehicle no matter what happened to
it. Right. Right.
So, you know, it's like, okay, so you carry the basic liability and drive it till the wheels fall off.
There's right, yeah, yeah. And when the wheels get
a few scrapes on it.
When the wheels get square, buy some more wheels.
There you go.
That's right. That's right.
All right, brother. Hey, we really appreciate you calling in because that was very informative to a lot of our listeners out there, I'm sure.
All right.
Well, enjoy the show. You guys have a great night.
All right. Thanks, you too. I appreciate you calling in. You know, that's there's a use for most vehicles. If it cranks and runs and drives,
right,
it can make transportation for somebody.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Regardless of how beat up it might be, it may not be. I mean, if it's an older vehicle that's just transportation, it's got a few scrapes and bumps on it. Who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fine. Yeah. And somewhere down the road, somebody might.
Well, there's still a lot of pieces on those cars that can be used and sold. Okay.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And so they will. They know which ones that they can use, and then they'll junk the rest of it, you know?
Yep, absolutely. But we're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is The Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Yeah, we're, we're primarily a car show here. We talk about just about anything. Most times, stuff we probably
mechanical.
Shouldn't, but, you know, it's...
or racing.
Yeah, or racing or whatever, yeah. But
or COVID-19 or our pneumonia.
We'll talk anything.
Or what you got.
It don't matter. Yeah, yeah, it don't matter.
Or what you got rid of today, you know.
But, can't fail to mention one of our sponsors, UJ Chevrolet, my
awesome.
Employers.
Yes.
Great place.
And you're getting vehicles in now, man.
We are getting vehicles in. Our inventory is still a little up and down for the simple fact that we sell cars.
Right.
So
yeah.
As fast as we're getting them in, we're moving them back out.
They're not sitting on the ground long, I bet.
Right. So, but we still have a pretty fair inventory. I can't complain too much
about
it.
Can you come out there and order one?
You can order one. They are building and ordering vehicles. So come on out and look through the lot. And if you can't find exactly what you want, if they can't find it, they can order it for you.
I talked to a guy the other day that worked at a dealership, wasn't in this town, but they had three new cars on the lot. Three.
Yeah.
I went like, what time? Y'all have is Circus coming in here or what? They said, what? I said, well, y'all got the floor cleaned off inside in here where all the cars are at. I said, y'all having a dance in here tonight?
Right.
No, we wait for the factory to send us some cars. We done sold everything.
Yep. I tell you, that's a problem. Everybody's been fighting for sure. But right now, if you find a dealership that got a bunch of cars on the ground, they're probably not dealing very well to get rid of them either because they're just hanging on to them.
No, and you're going to pay the price.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But you mentioned something during the break about electric vehicles. I was reading something this past week where California, of all places, has passed law or ruling that no 100% gas or diesel-powered vehicles will be sold in California beyond 2035. So
Whoa.
15 years from now, it is going to have to be a hybrid or full electric.
Really?
Yep.
But, you know, there are other articles that I was reading, too. You know, that just tells you that both of us that read because you have to keep up with stuff, you know.
Yep.
But I see where there's a couple of manufacturers in Canada that's bringing in some electric trucks, like a pickup trucks. I see where Tesla's has got a pickup truck. And I'm seeing where some of these electric vehicles like this are going to have like a 500-mile.
Yep.
Capacity or capabilities of running before you have to worry about charging them, and they're going to charge back real fast. I mean, like a couple of hours.
Right, right.
Now they've got some new innovations in the batteries, and they keep talking about it, but I haven't found an article yet, and even on the internet, that would indicate what they have found and what they're doing to these batteries now to give us this longevity and extended driving capacity on the one hand. But then on the other hand, the quick charge capacity.
Right, right. Well, you know, the battery technology is changing extremely fast.
Oh, yeah.
One of the innovations that GM has come up with is a flexible battery.
Ooh.
You know, it's not a big square box or big, you know, solid component that takes up a huge amount of area in a vehicle. It is actually something that can be form fit to certain areas of the vehicle, even the floor pan or, you know, trunk pans and stuff like this.
Underneath the seats and all kind of stuff.
Right. And it gives them a lot more flexibility to mount the batteries in the vehicle. So it gives you a better looking platform.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of my pet peeve with some of these electric vehicles is they just look goofy. You know,
they don't look like regular cars. They look like a damn spaceship or something.
I mean, it's just like this Tesla truck thing.
Yeah.
You know, it don't look like a truck. It don't look like a car. It don't look, I mean, it looks like it should have been
an orange crate somebody beat on.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It ain't no truck. So,
it don't look like it.
Now, it performs.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. It's strong. It can pull. It does everything a truck's supposed to do. But how many guys are going to go get that wedge-looking thing, put big jacked-up tires on it, and, you know, go pull their boat to the river?
I
don't – or go to the hunting camp with it.
I don't think so. No.
I just don't see that happening.
They're going to keep these old 4x4s around here with four-wheel drives to go to the woods in.
Well, you know, but you can do that in a better looking platform, you know.
You would think
it still
could
look like a truck, and it would be fine, you know. So I don't know. I don't really go along with some of the theories they have on some.
Well,
of
the
this
engineering
stuff,
part of it is extremely interesting in that the longevity of the batteries. The miles that they're capable of traveling before they have to be subjected to a recharge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if somebody can drive 450, 500 miles on a vehicle,
mm-hmm.
stop at a motel or hotel or whatever and spend a night and have overnight to charge your vehicle back up, then all that's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that the 18-wheelers are getting all this power.
Right.
And they have fleets of those things now that are ordered.
Mm-hmm.
And because they can get 500-600 miles out of those 18-wheeler trucks,
right?
Before they have to worry about recharging them.
Well, you know, by then the driver has to shut it down.
He's got to take hours
and take his break anyway.
10 hours is all he can drive.
Unless you're hot seating it, where you got another driver with you and you tandem driving, or hot seating it one.
Yeah,
you know, it'd be a little hard to do that with those, but there's not a lot of them doing that anymore anyway.
No,
so
they're not.
You know, they're. If they're going to sit at a truck stop for 6 or 8 hours anyway, they got plenty of time to charge them back up.
Charge them again, yeah.
Yeah, and that is the limiting factor on the electric vehicle technology is the infrastructure to be able to recharge them.
That's what you're waiting on.
And get to where you can travel across country and have a reliable source of recharging that vehicle in a fairly constant, you know, place around
electric around service stations,
right? I mean,
you know, and it's service place where you get electricity.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's going to open up a whole new breed of service stations to where, okay, you're going to be able to go out there and plug your car up, but you're going to have to go inside and sit down for 45 minutes or an
mm-hmm.
hour. So you know, hey, turn it into a restaurant or you know something along those sorts to where, you know, you've got a comfortable space to go in, sit down, relax while your car's charging.
And if you have one of those electric cars and your batteries are not charged up and you have a Sally that comes in out of the Gulf, you better make sure you got a golf cart that's got good batteries in it or got a good little gas motor in it so you can get around.
Exactly.
You know?
Well, speaking of which, James from, I believe, from Gulf Shores area there, but is it it's best to use ethanol free gasoline in my gas golf cart rather than marine gas in a golf cart like that? No, you shouldn't have to use marine fuel. The ethanol-free is perfectly fine for that. It's got the ethanol out of it. It's not the higher octane, which you don't need with a gas golf cart. So the ethanol-free is perfect for it. You know, and you know that's one another one of those things. If you use it every day or right. a couple times a week or whatever.
And if there's any doubt, yeah. they do make a little additive that you can get at the mm-hmm. parts store that you could put in there to help yeah. you know make sure that it's covered.
Yep. Exactly. You know, I see it a lot with classic vehicles that have been sitting up for a little while. And, you know, you go looking in, pull the gas tank, and it's corroded up from top to bottom. Fuel pumps, you know, killed the, you know, fuel. You know, if it has if fuel-injected motor, the injectors will be clogged up. You know, I see it quite regular on the older cars like that people have spent the time and the money. But, you know, you gotta keep going with them. It looks like we've run up to the end of our show. I want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show. And we'll be back next week.
And to all of our fine veteran friends out there, a big hoorah.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49 and went to Detroit working on assembly line. The first year they had me putting wheels on Cadillacs. Every day I'd watch them beauties roll by, and sometimes I'd hang my head and cry, 'cause I always wanted me one that was long and black.